I think we should start the podcast off by like, talking about you butchering people's names before the actual intro. So, like, so it's something that we do, Stephanie.
I go by my middle name and my surname, obviously, but my first name. I should have just said that. So I just watched him absolutely curl into a ball.
No, I'll still give it a go, but I'll end up butchering it, and you can correct me. That's how it generally works.
Okay.
Hi everyone. A little bit of a different intro to the Microsoft Spotlight podcast, but let's keep it moving and fluid. Like today we are joined by obviously myself, John Jarvis, usual host of the Spotlight podcast, and also Andrew. How are you doing today?
I am good. Bit of a headache. Obviously a different intro because, you know, on the last couple of episodes I have butchered guest names quite severely and had a bit of a laugh and a giggle about it, but you know.
Not only butchers, like you've changed people's names in the past as well, which has been great.
Yeah, well, it's one of them, isn't it? You got to try. If you don't try, you don't learn. That's all I say.
It's true, yeah.
But today, our guest is the one and only Stephanie Winter. How are you doing, Stephanie? You good?
I'm fine. A bit sweaty. I'm not gonna lie. I've closed all the windows because it's a bit not noisy, but oh, just so glad to be. I'm really honoured, actually, guys, because I've looked through your stuff and I just think you're doing really good work. I don't know if you know, like, has anybody given you any feedback about that? Not that you need it, but I'm just saying it's a bit of a niche to do this type of podcast. So you're really representing out there. So well done.
Thank you. Go on, Andrew.
So, you know, it's always good to get feedback. I mean, we do have, obviously, you know, past guests who've said, oh, I didn't realise you had X, Y, and Z on. And it's like, it's good to, you know, get that recognition because at the end of the day, we're here to basically share your story because, you know, as you say, it is a niche. There's not many people out there doing it. And obviously, we're trying to do it in a fun way to make sure people learn about, you know, the actual person because, in the day, people's stories are timeless. Where if me and John did a tech podcast, it'd be out of date in a couple of weeks' time, so it's a bit pointless, really. That's what I see it.
Yeah, 100%. But yeah, it's good. It's good. I really like the podcast. As I said to Andrew and a few other people, like, it's just fun to do. It's good to talk to different people, like, and understand different people's stories and stuff like that, and. By large, it's just enjoyable, in all honesty. It's 45 minutes out of the day where you can just sit down and chat and to different people and different stories. And yeah, it's an enjoyable 45 minutes for me. It's not like work or hard. So if people are listening and stuff like that and get a little bit from everyone's stories, it's good for us. Like one week we could be having a fun session and talking about different stuff, and then the next week we could be talking about a bit more of a serious topic and stuff. And yeah. We've just done a World Mental Health Day episode. I don't know about you, Andrew. Off the back of that, like, I was feeling like, oh, a bit down type thing.
Yeah, I say, obviously, by the time this episode goes out, the mental health episode would already been released. Goes out on the 10th of October. I say that as an episode that was obviously for me very eye-opening because it's nice to hear from other people who have experienced mental health issues who are not too dissimilar to myself. So, yeah. If you listen to this podcast and listen to this episode, haven't listened to that one yet, go back, have a listen, let us know your thoughts.
Yeah, and at the moment it's the 5th of October, so this is getting released after, but South Coast Summit next weekend.
Yeah, this episode go out about 2 weeks after South Coast, so like 24th-ish, I think. So
for us, it's South Coast Summit next weekend, so we've got quite a lot of cool stuff happening there. I'm talking, and then we're also doing a roundtable with Women in Tech with some really cool guests. So maybe, because it's retrospective now, and it might be on YouTube, like, go and listen to us. Like, go to listen to the episode. It's really cool. It'd be really cool. But anyway, Stephanie, you're today's guest. Awesome. So... you said that you started in the IT IT market two years ago, and you started and you became a certified Microsoft trainer and also a Microsoft Teams trainer. Kind of, how did that all start? What made you think this is the next step for me. What brought you to the industry?
You know, so it kind of started years and years and years ago, with one of my one of those I wish I had. So at school, I was doing a GMFQ in information technology, and I passed it and everything. But at the end of that, I was saying to everybody, I'm going to be a computer programmer and I'm going to really make a difference. And the guys in the course were like, you're a girl, don't be stupid. So I was like, oh, well, okay. And I kind of walked out like, I'm still going to do it. But then by the end of the day, I was like really defeated. And then I didn't really get that kind of uplifting, kind of supportive kind of, you know, from my friends or from my family. And I just thought, oh, okay, well, maybe that's not what I should be doing. So I just went on another path. But back in 2020, I was looking at this role within the trust that I'm in right now for a Microsoft Teams live events producer and trainer, and just thought, this is me. I really like Teams. I really need to know more. I need to build more confidence in it, because I feel like we are migrating over from our shared drives into here, and I'm pressing all these buttons, and it's really exciting what's in here and what we can do. And this will give me the opportunity to be maybe like a subject matter expert in that, and really contribute to the workforce knowledge and really empower people, just like I am empowering myself. So I just looked at that and took that on and just ran with it. And within that, I was producing and training in Microsoft Teams live events, which is so much more different in the normal Teams meeting. I helped out. In fact, I was a training lead for when we started to migrate again from those shared drives over into SharePoint. And then just picked up some qualifications from that. I just was surrounded at the time by people who were like, yeah, go do it. Yeah, if it's going to help you with your knowledge, yeah, just do it. And that was new to me. That was really new. So I just kept on. And the first thing I probably did, in fact, before I even took on that role, was I took on a course for a Microsoft, just going to try and make sure I know what it is. It's like, I'll get it correctly. Microsoft Service Adoption Specialist. So I did that course and I found it really exciting, and it was rampacked with so much stuff that you kind of need in your everyday, whether you're an adoption specialist or not. But that just helped me with like migration and just trying to change people's minds or kind of lead them in the right direction to move from one way of working to another, and helping them maybe discover and develop new processes as to what they were doing before.
I think kind of like your journey is really quite typical in terms of a lot of the people that we speak to over the last 20-21 months that we've been doing this. And it's like they've come out of school, they've enjoyed IT, they might have done a course, they might not have done a course, but it's just that support structure and the next step that's just, I think generally just isn't in place. It's like it's a story we've heard a lot of times, isn't it, Andrew?
Yeah, I mean, there is no like real pathways for people that want to get into IT, especially from like, you know, females, to actually then go and join an organization where they can then start flourishing and actually be a part of the women in tech community by doing roles that don't have to be technical, because obviously not everyone has to be technical to be a woman in tech, but get into an organization where you can obviously start becoming a woman in tech and having that clear pathway. From school, if you did X, Y, and Z, or basically put yourself forward for a graduate program at a particular organization. That's how then you start getting your foot in the door. I say, once your foot's in the door in any technical organization, it's then completely up to you whether you keep your foot in that door and open that door, you know, completely wide open and burst in and, you know, become, you know, your full potential, or you go, this isn't for me, and just basically walk away.
I mean, I'm from, you know, I'm from an admin and clerical background anyway, and I don't believe that a lot of, say, administrators, what people call administrators or business supportive officers, know how digitally skilled they are, to tell you the truth. They're just sitting there. And for instance, before I came to this trust, I was at another trust, and I could be for our patients, have 8 different pieces of software open at a time, looking through pathology, looking through scans, trying to coordinate where I can map their scans, their bloods, their MDTs, you know, all those meetings, and try and get them in to see the consultants. And that I just thought was just normal, but it's not. It's not.
A big range of topics, isn't it? Poor IT staff having to manage it all.
Exactly. So, I mean, just that, and being, say, before I was even that trainer and producer, I was an executive assistant, and I had previously achieved my 2013 Microsoft Office Specialist certifications, and I knew my way around, you know, all of those applications like Word, Excel, even Access, which is another beast. Everybody knows it's a beast, but I knew my way around that, and that's an achievement a lot of people don't know. So even if you've got that foundation, it's kind of like a foot in the door, yeah, like Andrew was saying.
Cool. So your new job now, in terms of the diversity and inclusion, and is that still quite tech related? What's the general day-to-day stuff you're doing with that?
So part of my role is to improve our work streams, our business systems, some processes, go into maybe our staff networks and help them with how they are doing, running things so far, and help them with process mapping within the equality, diversity and inclusion team. At the moment, it's quite new because we've just had a refresh of the team, so we're building new processes ourselves, and we're making sure that we're doing a lot of forward planning. Everything is done digitally, and if it is not efficient or productive from what we were doing before, then we're trying to look at ways of automating those processes. So Teams is really obviously helping us out, and so is SharePoint with those integrated apps like Lists, Power Automate, and the way that we're showing our data, even in our meetings to our board, we can try and move or merge from, say, an Excel spreadsheet or worksheet into Power BI to make it more, cosmetically attractive to what people have seen before. Sometimes the visual just is digested a little bit better, and equality, diversity, inclusion is a lot to digest, and it's changing every day. So it's just an easier way, an accessible way of doing things, and that's where I feel like I come in. So even down to the way that we are presenting in Teams, some people I've noticed are still sharing the screen, and that's fine, but sharing through PowerPoint Live is just like the best. I can't go on about PowerPoint Live, like, it's just amazing.
Do
you know what I was talking at Teams 10X last week, and my problem is I've got one big monitor, right? So yes. when I do a share screen, it's like 49-inch wide-inch screen, and I went into PowerPoint presentation to share our slide, and presenting teams wasn't there. Like presenting teams wasn't there, and I was like, oh no, what am I gonna do? Like it's not like, what am I gonna do? I've only got one big 49-inch screen, so I had to quickly get another, like quickly get my screen over there, which I got for the PlayStation, plug it into mine, and just like shared it over there. I was like, oh, I'd just be lost without it now. PowerPoint Live in Teams. I would be lost. I just think it was the meeting settings. I couldn't do it. I was just like, oh no, I don't know what to do.
So part of my role is like before moving into the EDIT, and I'm still using that now as a trainer and a producer, is developing courses and programs around how to do what you normally do better or more efficiently or more productively. And also don't be scared to test out with your colleagues, with your family, or with yourself. A lot of people don't know about speaker coach even. Maybe they're too self-conscious about presenting or testing in front of other people. But speaker coaching PowerPoint is just one of those great tools that you can just present to the computer, and that AI will come back with a great report on how you did. And that was my job to do that. And those extra tools in Teams, so it makes it more accessible for, say, people with learning disabilities.
What's that speaker thing called? What's it called?
I have it switched on all the time, every time we do these podcasts, because I like to understand if I'm being repetitive in any particular words that I use. I know I always use the word obviously in my house, and it drives my wife absolutely mad. So it's one word that I'm literally trying to like cut out of my vocabulary.
What's this thing called?
Speaker coach.
Speaker coach.
Yeah.
What's it in?
If you just go on More and Teams, is there?
Is it?
Yeah.
It's in PowerPoint, but it should actually be now. Yes, actually, it should be in your Teams, integrated in your Teams now. It's called Turn on Speaker Coach. So while you're presenting, it will just give you these little prompts to say, oh, you've just said a word a couple of times there.
Love. I don't have this.
See, this is the joy that I bring to the world.
Why don't I have this? Is it because I'm not a presenter?
Have you got Office 365?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, you should have it. It is one of the best things, because, say, if you're speaking too quickly within a particular meeting, it actually flags up in a little bar at the top saying, you know, think about slowing down. But I know full well, because of the area that I'm from, us Brummies, we do speak quite fast. So me trying to slow down my natural speaking, you know, it's just one of them things.
Oh, is it because it's in public preview? I don't have the public preview turned on.
It should
have
been released to everybody now, I think, yeah. But again, it's just a great way, like it tells you about your pace. If you're going too fast, it'll tell you to just slow down a little bit. That's the right rate, so well done. It'll give you some kudos. It will tell you as well if you're looking into the camera or not, and give you those kind of prompts as well, and give you a whole report at the end. Honestly, it's really good. I find that a great tool for especially our workforce, because we're a mental health trust, we're always trying to think of accessible tools that we can pass on to our staff networks, but also to our whole workforce, so then they know about it. And we have a reasonable adjustment kind of policy in there, so we try and update that as well with these things. We're always looking at working with Microsoft and use those tools the best way we can, even down to as well. So like even in, I'm going on and on, I should be working for Microsoft actually. Induction, we've changed now inductions to the live events, so people can attend their inductions more frequently from anywhere remotely. And if you're presenting, you can have different languages in it, or sometimes when we have training sessions, if you present within PowerPoint Live, this is one, through PowerPoint Live, the other presenters can view the presentation in different languages. I am loving that feature. The other day I was watching somebody present and I thought, let me just try Chinese. Oh my gosh, this looks so good. Can't understand it, but it's lovely. So there's so many different choices there. I'm just blowing John's mind right now. He's like, what? Speaker coach, I don't understand.
John needs it now in his life. That's what it is. He's locked in. One speaker coach switched on.
He's shut down.
That's probably one of the good things about Microsoft, obviously, from an accessibility perspective. There is so much work they are doing now to identify, you know, the gaps in the, you know, the tech they basically deliver. You know, we've had obviously Donna Sarkar on this podcast and a few of the people that work within her team, and the work they're doing is just amazing, you know. But me and John have got nothing but admiration for Donna. As an individual, as a speaker, the work that's just from Microsoft, she is just a person that when it comes to just even talking about just D&I as well, she just knows what she's talking about. So yeah, I've got nothing but, you know, positives about Microsoft. Even though, you know, I'm not paid by Microsoft for anything. They are doing some really good work to ensure the tools are there for people to use.
They really helped us out through COVID. So one of the reasons why I was taken on as a producer and a trainer within my trust was because we had implemented Teams far long before COVID, which I'm just so proud of them. I really am, because a lot of other NHS foundations and healthcare institutes hadn't had Zoom. And it wasn't working to its full potential. So, but we had Teams in, I think, from like 2018, and started to train and teach some of our staff. But yeah, one of the reasons why I was brought in was to help our staff to create some training courses. I developed the skill. I don't know how I did it, but I developed the skill on creating my own videos and narrating against them, using slideshows as well as videos, taking myself, sending out through comms, our internal comms, top tips for everybody to be aware of and really engage within the software. But ultimately, our executives felt like they needed to connect to our workforce through the trying time, because there were so many questions, and it just seemed like maybe our workforce is lost and we've lost that connection with them. How do we get in contact with them and have this forum for them to ask questions and we interact with them? And I was just with my with the senior web developer at the time for our trust. We were just running an hour every week. It turned then to fortnight, and now we're doing monthly, and we're not going to stop that. It doesn't look like we're going to stop it, because it's so successful. That forum, that Q&A in the live events really has just helped people feel a bit more connected to our executives. And along with about vaccinations and giving them a clear vision as what we were going to do throughout COVID, we could still try and make light of things like, you know, communicating what's going on with our staff surveys, supporting our staff's networks with ED&I stuff, or telling people about, we've got this new service, but we need your help with this, and how can we improve on that? So it's just been really successful. We couldn't really do without it. So now we've gone from, say, like a face-to-face kind of organisation. Yes, we were doing Skype before and a little bit of Teams, but now we can say we're a hybrid organisation, which is, I just feel like, it's really, really proud of. And I've been a part of that that success for the execs to really connect with our workforce.
Which is obviously good for the NHS because obviously everyone knows, docs well documented, the issues they have with funding and stuff. So reducing the requirement for face-to-face using the products that are there from Microsoft, you know, is a massive benefit for, you know, the NHS to, you know, be more connected with staff and maybe even patients as well, because it is a, you know, a very powerful tool, and it basically proved through COVID how much people needed Microsoft Teams to stay connected. And say, like, when I joined Fujitsu, I joined literally the week after the first lockdown. So I spent a lot of my time on Teams, talking to my new colleagues, just doing, like, you know, coffee afternoons, so half an hour,
yes,
coffee, like calendar appointment, just so we had something to, you know, break up the day. And it also enabled me then to, you know, understand my colleagues a little bit more, because it was a half an hour just not talking about work, but just talking about general chit-chat.
Yeah, we did a lot of that across the trust, and that came down from our CEO. Please try, everybody, to stay connected with your teams, you know, how much you can. We normally do huddles face-to-face, but if you can do that over Teams, please do. We were doing quizzes. We were using Slido. In there, forms are now like an integral part of like Teams meetings, because you can do polls within that. So, surveys like PowerPoint, obviously you can create those quizzes in there, watch videos together. I just felt like it was a really great tool. But aside from that, I think we had to move from paperless, definitely just before COVID, strongly throughout that, and really step up our game with the other applications that we're using. So that's why my journey with digital skills and through Microsoft, I felt I had to really be on my game, because people are constantly getting in touch with me and asking me, how do I do this? What do you recommend about that? And we were getting so many queries on our support desk, and you know, it was quite overwhelming. And we can deal with them somewhat, where we have KPIs just like everybody else. We want to make sure that we get back in touch with our staff as soon as we can, because we are, as you know, connected to patient care. And if we are delaying somebody, will that be delaying care? So we just wanted to think of ways of making this service or answering queries more efficiently. And again, that's another reason why I was pulled in. But within, say, 1 year, I had, done that Microsoft Adoption Specialist course and achieved that. I was training lead for the migration team, so I was organising training for all of our staff, and we've just got under 5,000 staff there. So creating videos, I taught myself how to create a whole booking page in the SharePoint spaces. So, and that's just basically creating web pages, customizing them and popping in buttons, connecting them to Microsoft Teams meetings. I just taught myself how to do that. And set those up, worked with Learning and Development to advertise it on their sites so that it would be more accessible to our clinical environment in my other trust, observing them, then definitely more concerned about the delivery. And you really have to catch their eye when you're emailing them or advertising anything. So, just trying to make that whole process more accessible. And then I think from then I wanted
I was meant to talk then, but then I was on mute. I was going to say, Stephanie, so in terms of...
You need to stop me sometimes.
That's good.
So in terms of the stuff like you do, like with the tech community, like, I think, did you get in touch with Andrew from the Women in Tech call, I guess, was it?
No, Andrew did his usual thing. He saw Stephanie doing a presentation, then reached out to Stephanie and went, do you fancy doing this?
Cool. So what was that? What was that that presentation about? Like, how did you get involved?
Yeah, so thanks for reaching out. Again, just a bit, still stunned that anybody's getting in touch with me about my presentation. I'm really quite overwhelmed by, you know, the attention it got. I just felt like I needed to add presenting to my peers on my journey to be an MVP, which I'm looking at Andrew's background right now, and I'm so jealous of your certificates right now, but... whatever.
They're old now. I'm not an MVP anymore, but, you know, they're still there.
Yeah,
to be fair, you can't see on camera, but there's my MCT one as well, so, you know.
Wow, maybe MCT one up as well.
Yeah.
Nice.
So what was that presentation? Where was it? Like, I don't know.
That's okay. I'm part of a community called Women in Tech, and it's not just all women. But it's about women in tech and just uplifting and empowering one another and talking about our journeys, helping one another out with tools that Microsoft has come out with, and just getting sometimes a sneak peek about what's going on. But it's about a supportive forum and community. My presentation was about my adoption kind of journey into tech. So the last, as you were asking before, the last 2 years as to what I've been doing. So it was really quick, and I was having so many technical problems to start off with, but as you do sometimes in Microsoft Teams, but just going on about that. But it was really interesting. It was just basically my journey from being an executive assistant covering about 5 people and moving into a trainer and producer role, and what I was doing, and just having that background. And when I was training, I mean, a strong element of that was while I was training, I realized that all of the experience I have accumulated throughout my other industries in Korea has really helped me be more relatable when I'm teaching and training other people. So I can kind of ask people, well, what do you do at the start? And kind of change the way slightly as to how I'm delivering something, and just put in those little scenarios. So you might want to do filtering if a consultant runs in and just needs to know this and this about a patient, so you just feel more relatable. So I think that homed in on everybody. And then just my journey of moving from the adoption specialist to upgrading my Microsoft Office specialists kind of certification from 2013 to Office 365, becoming a certified trainer with Microsoft, which is just like a big milestone for me. I'm so proud of taking on a IOSH IOSH trainer, so that I can be more relatable to our clinicians. Getting a digital certification so I can have that qualification around other professionals, but also with our execs. And then finally, we got a business case agreed within our trust to have an extra 2 people to be training and producing those live events along with me. So awesome. It's a lot.
So what I ask this question, I think, nearly every episode is like, you're obviously doing a bit now or a lot in the tech community, but what's the first thing that made you look and go, oh, there's another world outside of work? There's a wider range of community, like of people in the community who are wanting to share content and stuff. What was the bit that made you realize that was out there, and what made you want to like add to it as well?
Add your own
perspective, add your own content to it. What made you go, I want to start presenting and doing this type of stuff?
When I log off of work, I just go straight onto my personal computer, or I'm on in forums, looking at what's new, what's coming out. I get alerts about new things and updates to help myself be more productive and stand out. And I just thought, I am doing so much more within this role, which was as an EA, I think. I thought I've got to move on to something else. That's because it's making me, that makes me happy. Computers and, you know, digital skills and learning more makes me happy. How can I, but ultimately what aligns with what I really want to do, which is support people in being their best selves in their own roles. You don't have to move up if you don't want to, but be their best selves in that, be more productive, empower people, support people. How can I do so much more? How can I do much more than I'm doing now? And I just saw that in the digital skills community. And they're so welcoming, and I didn't realise that. There's so much free stuff. There's a foundation that is out there that you don't have to pay for. But if you do, it's not as much as you thought it was. And then if you do want to pay for it, the world's definitely your oyster. And there's so many other people out there that are just like you. So it was really welcoming, and that's why it kind of honed me in on doing what I was doing. Yeah.
I mean, obviously, the Women in Teams community is, you know, is a big global thing. Obviously, Laurie Potmeyer, who's obviously been on this podcast, and we get to see again next week, John, because obviously she's on our panel at the Safe Coast Summit. You know, I've known Laurie for years from when she first started the community lead role. So I was actually involved in Teams before Teams was actually public released to anyone. So I was part of the Alpha program. The joys of being one of them back in the day. So the Women in Teams community does, you know, does quite a lot to try and, you know, get more women from around the world into a group, talking more about, you know, the products and what they can do. So I know, you know, there's a load of great women that I know who are involved, not just from the UK, but also further afield as well. So, you know, having people within that particular team, there's more people you can identify with, especially with the likes, say, Karuna, for example. You know, Karuna's been on this podcast.
Oh my gosh.
She's a big, powerful woman.
she is. I'm like, every time I see her, I'm like, oh my god, she's here. Just keep it together. Don't let her see your face right now, freak out.
She's amazing. Obviously, when we had her on this podcast as well, she was brilliant. You know, we didn't expect to have her on this podcast because obviously she is such a, you know, a big face within the Microsoft community. Obviously being very present at Ignite, doing the actual opening keynotes with Satya and Adele. So, you know, having people like that on this podcast and just basically showing the human side of them as well is so important.
Yeah, I remember like Karuna, her episode, like everything, like she's in between staff. She was, you can tell she lives a crazy life in terms of busy life, and she still, without any hesitation, so just jumped on. Yeah.
She's like, honestly, like a Beyonce within like team. She literally is, but so humble, so friendly, always giving everybody props. And she's like a role model personally for me. And that's one of what I want to do within this community as well, like all the communities that I'm within, because I'm in a healthcare tenant for Microsoft Teams. So all of the healthcare institutes, and with Microsoft in the UK, I'm a part of that. I'm part of another one that just releases all of the new stuff. You know, I'm a part of that tenant and the Women's in Teams. And it's about, you know, being role models and making people feel comfortable in this environment. And that's what that Women in Teams kind of community does. You feel so comfortable just being yourself. We're different, you know. I don't know if you know, guys, but women and men are quite different. so it's just It's just the way that we see ourselves within this industry sometimes, and just being around like-minded people. Some of us have that imposter syndrome, that syndrome that we can't, you know, shake, even though we're like amazing. We still got that in the background, and you know, the way that we apply for even those high-level jobs, we just have a different way of thinking. But that added thing is being a Black woman as well in tech. And again, that's one of the reasons why I look up to her as well. And I feel like there's not a lot. We're not kind of like spotlighted as much as
you are today.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Again, I just like, honestly, like I'm blown away because it's like a really good podcast. You're doing really great job, and the conversation that you have is really comfortable, and that's what we need. Comfortable conversation, you know, and being culturally aware and intelligent and thinking about every level of this environment and this industry. So I'm just so honoured. I'm here. Black woman in tech.
Woohoo! So you've kind of said it, obviously, the importance of having people visible that you can relate to. Me and John said it many times in this podcast. It is massively important to be able to identify someone that's out there in the market space, making big waves and going, you know, she looks like me, she sounds like me, therefore, you know, I could be that person if I really wanted to basically put myself out there. Just having, you know, someone there, you can, you know, kind of not benchmark yourself against, but someone, you know, you want to emulate to some degree. Because obviously you always want to be yourself because everyone has their own personality. But you need to, obviously, you need someone there just to, you know,
just that bit of inspiration, isn't it? Just be inspired. Yeah. Inspired to say that I can do that as well. And luckily, being the a white guy from London, I've got plenty of people that I can relate to. So it's pretty simple. Yeah, it's pretty easy for me. But like, others like yourselves and stuff, is a lot different. So I think that's where people like Karuna, Donna Sakard, like, you know, those people who inspire lots of different people, We're not even talking about people from like BAM and you know, diversity and all that type of, I'm talking about people like me, like Donna. I'll say in most episodes, Donna Sakard like inspires me. Like, you sit there in a room where Donna speaks and no one talks, no one like glances anywhere else. Everyone's fixated. And that's the type of, like, when I look at speaker and I'm like, I need to do a speaking thing, I'm like, I want to be like her. Like, so she doesn't, so it's not like, and I tried to say this quite a bit, that like a Black woman, for example, talking like Karuna, for example, doesn't just have to inspire her demographic. They inspire everyone.
Yeah.
And I think that's just something powerful to think of.
She really does. Yeah. So I just wish I had, it's not me bragging or anything or having a big head. I just wish that when I thought about, those guys that said to me, you can't do computer programming, all those years ago. I'm talking decades, guys. But when I was at that
point, you're not, I thought it would be like 10 years ago after school. Like,
oh, all you checks in the mail. No, but I just wish I wish there was somebody at the time or a handful of women or Black women that are just not into only in entertainment or athletics, because I'm a big girl. But if there were just people out there that I kind of like related to, that representation, which we kind of have now, if I had that, I know that I'd be in a different stage of life. I'm happy, definitely, but I would have been someone else. So I just hope then that I'm that person that people can look up to now and even more in the future when I'm just like somewhere else soaring, I hope, you know, so.
Yeah, that's me. The whole, you know, John spoke about in the last episode, you know, people need to obviously get into schools and try and offer more support. But it's not just about, you know, women going to schools, going, I'm a woman in tech. It's all about males going there as well and teaching the lads in the class that, you know, they have to become allies as well to obviously help encourage them new social circles to promote more people to have an accessible route into IT.
Yeah, like you guys right now, you're allies and like showcasing us. You don't have to, but you do, and you're getting it out through this medium that everybody's watching. So kudos to you, honest to gosh. And you're doing it in such a well done way, honestly.
Thank you.
You know, somebody should be patting you on the back. I'm patting you on this is a virtual pat on the back.
Cool. I think we're wrapping up towards the end of time for us anyway. I'm sure everyone's got a 2 o'clock soon to attend and get prepared for. As I said before, we started this a little bit late. I was on back-to-back-to-back this morning and managed to get... I still got half a sandwich sitting here. Like, I haven't eaten.
What type of sandwich? I just need to know before I go. Otherwise, I'm not going to be able to sleep.
I went for brie, bacon and chili chutney.
Oh, that's la-di-da, that is, mate. Oh,
Sainsbury's own. Taste the difference.
It is, yeah.
But go on, John. You got a final question to wrap us up then.
Yeah, so we've spoken about your past, your present. So what's the future for you? What's the next goal for you?
I think in the tech industry, like I would love to be an MVP and just stand out as a role model for everybody. Not that just my demographic, but for everybody. And I really enjoy that, just meeting new people, learning new things in that way. And on the ED&I side, just more knowledgeable about having those conversations with people and empowering them, making them, helping them and supporting them understand people and their needs, really. Looking forward to that.
Nice one. So thanks for joining us. And yes, it's been another insightful episode of the Microsoft Spotlight podcast. And Andrew, next time we see you, I think it's in person, isn't it? Like next Thursday at the Hilton.
Next week.
Next week at the Hilton. So yeah, I'll see you in person. It's been a year now, isn't it, since the last time I saw you?
Yeah, a year since the last one, yeah.
Ah. Every two weeks nearly and over this, or sometimes multiple times, but yeah, it's been a year since, so yeah, that'd be cool.
Anyway, I'm looking forward to doing the session again, so
yeah. And also, guys, if you haven't watched us on or you watch us and listen to us on Spotify and stuff like that, we'd really appreciate everyone who listens to this to go up to YouTube, type in Microsoft Spotlight, find our page, like and subscribe, please. It just helps us.
Yes, because we've got 99 subscribers and I need one more so I can get a custom URL. So please subscribe.
Stephanie,
that's the selling point right there.
I'm sorry, I've already subscribed, so you've already counted me in there. Honestly, I have, so darn it.
Cool. All right.
I'll tell a friend.
Just say subscribe to this, no matter what.
Yeah.
Cool. Anyway, thank you for being on. And yeah, Andrew, see you next week. Stephanie, see you soon.
All right. Take care. Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Microsoft Spotlight podcast. Please make sure you hit that like, share and subscribe button to help us promote our message. You can also follow us on Twitter at MSFTSpotlight, and we're also on LinkedIn, the Microsoft Spotlight podcast. And finally, we'd like to tell you a little bit about BitTitan and thank them for sponsoring this podcast.
Remote migrations start here. Let MigrationWiz do the work for you. It's fast, secure and 100% SaaS. which means you can migrate at any time and from anywhere. Migrate mailboxes, documents, public folders, personal archives, or even Microsoft Teams with just a few clicks. No special training needed, and no customer downtime. When the work matters, choose MigrationWiz.